Tonight's a supplement to the message you heard on Sunday morning, and I believe it'll help you. The end of the service, after it'll go with the whole service, but particularly at the end when Pastor was talking, he said, I don't know where all these people came from. Welcome to Good News Church. At the end, he said, made the statement that there were people, businessmen, if I recall correctly, business, not men necessarily, but business people or people that you had maybe missed what God had for you because you hadn't taken time to hear from the Holy Spirit and to follow what the Holy Spirit was saying to you. Is that the gist of what you were saying? Something kind of like that. I didn't get the message and transcribe it. I knew it had something to do with that. And I just just sensed that we tonight would be a good time for us to talk about something that's really important. It's not something we've never talked about for sure, but something really important, and that is, how do you hear from God? And specifically, how can you initiate hearing from God, praying out the will of God? Can we turn on those lights there? That might help me. How can we, they're kind of short staffed back there tonight, how can we initiate hearing from God through our prayer life, and how can we go to God and hear from Him when we need to hear from Him, which, by the way, is every day, but how can we go and hear from Him? So I'm going to talk about that a little bit. I'm not going to, spend a lot of time proving to you that God still speaks to people, but y'all remember at the Last Supper when Jesus was giving them some final words, and he said, it's recorded in John 14, 15, 16 through there. Those chapters particularly, he's describing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We talked about this last time I was speaking, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And one of the words that's used to describe him, the paraclete, the one who's called alongside to help, is the word counselor. He's the counselor. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to counseling. Some of you really need to go. I don't know if you've ever been to counseling, but if you go to a good counselor, it will have a good outcome. You will hear some truth, and the truth will help you. You will hear some truth. You will discover some things that you haven't seen, and it will help you. And the counselor, in this case, is a really good counselor, and he's a counselor who knows you better than anybody, and he knows how to lead you and guide you in just the way you should go. In other words, he's got perfect advice, perfect counsel, and perfect advice for you. And so the first thing I want to share with you tonight is that you need to know that God will speak to you, and you need to make a determination that you're going to hear from Him. Now, most of us believe and know and even have experienced God speaking to us. How many of you can say, I know God has led me, He's counseled me, He's spoken to me? You know that. Okay. But I think I'm not having to make that argument here tonight. But perhaps maybe I'm just challenging you that you need to determine more than ever in your life to hear from God and to let Him lead you. It's super easy to get to walking through life and assume that you're walking with God, that you're hearing from Him, and that you're going the way you should go, particularly when you go to church, particularly like on a Wednesday night, and particularly when you know a lot of scriptures and you've heard a message like this a dozen, two dozen, 15 dozen times, you know. So it's pretty easy for us all to just assume that, oh yeah, I'm hearing God's voice. But I'm going to tell you, the enemy works in deception, and he wants to come to you and trick you. He wants to come to you and deceive you. He wants to come and make you think that you're hearing from God when you're not at all. And I'm not saying that in any way to scare you. I'm just saying that so that you can be aware that this is the tactic of the enemy. And so he tries to deceive you, but we have to determine that we're not going to be deceived, that we're going to follow his voice. But knowing how to hear from God and follow his plan is not the same thing as doing it. It's not the same thing. Tonight we're going to talk about how to do it, but you're going to have to act on what you hear tonight, or it won't profit you at all. So here are some verses I want to read to us tonight as we get going here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says this, "But as it is written, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." But a lot of people, they read this, or they quote this, or, you know, they even read it from the Old Testament where it was originally spoken, and they say, see, we don't really know. It's like a claim for ignorance. See, we can't know. God's done these things, but they're all a mystery and we don't know. But if we'll keep reading to verse 10, it says, but, and the word but just sort of negates everything that went before, but God has revealed them. What has he revealed to us? The things that God has prepared for those who love him. He's revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, the very Spirit we just read about who knows the things of God. And we've received the Spirit who is from God that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. What Paul was communicating to us there is this. God wants by his Spirit to show us, to tell us what we need to know to receive everything that's available to us in Christ Jesus, including the counsel, the wisdom, the understanding, the insight that we need to walk out God's plans and purposes for our lives. Is that true? He does. He wants to do that. And then we know these verses from Romans 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Another way you could read that is this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the ones who enjoy being and get the benefits of being the sons and daughters of God. If you're led by the Spirit of God, he's leading you into all the benefits of being his child. And then it goes on to say, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. Hallelujah. So we get great benefits of being the children of God, but how are we going to partake of those benefits? By being led by the Spirit of God. So you got to know this. God wants to lead you. And he doesn't just want to lead Pastor Matt, or he doesn't just want to lead the people that have been saved for 20 years. He wants to lead all of his children, and he wants to lead you by his Holy Spirit. So that's it. So now that we got that said, what is it? How is it that you can today, when you have a problem, how is it when, forget having a problem just today, because life is every day. Just today, it's not just in special circumstances, but today, how can you find God's will? Well, let me just say this. Everything begins with the Word of God, with the written Word of God. So it's very simple. You need to find out what the Word of God says about whatever it is you're dealing with. So this is primary. You've heard this before. But once again, knowing it and being able to teach it to somebody else doesn't mean you're doing it. But again, I'm going to tell you, if you will do it, it will work in your life. And you will get the benefit of it. But if you don't, you won't. Wah, wah, wah. You know, you won't get the benefit. But you need to go to the Bible, to the Scripture, and find out what the Scripture says. And if you don't know the Scripture, there are thousands of really great resources to help you find what you need. And if you don't have a clue, I can tell you this, somebody sitting around you knows a whole lot about it. So just look around. There's lots of people in this room that could really help you find whatever you need to know. Okay. So you need to do that. And I'm not even going to read scriptures about finding his word on what the subject is, because the word of God is the will of God. Now, here's my next point. Actually pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. And if you don't know it tonight, I'll just be the one to inform you. You have weaknesses, and you probably have a lot more than you realize. You don't really know what to do in a lot of situations. Now, this is an important thing to realize, because it goes on to say, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But one trend that I've seen among people is this. We think we know everything, so we think we know what we ought to pray. I'm just going to tell you, as someone who's been walking with the Lord for a long time, it's really easy for me to just jump up and like, okay, and just haul off and just head down a road of praying and head down a road of telling people what they should do and head down a road of this is what you should do. But I'm going to tell you, you don't always know. And you, let me just say this, you don't know nearly as often as you think you should, you know, as you think you do. So I think it's really good for us to consider this, that we may have a little more weakness than what we understand, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. I mean, that's interesting. It's just kind of a blanket statement there. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. We have some ideas of things. We have the word, but we don't have the answer for everything. And I can tell you this, more often than not in my life, I thought I knew what to do. I thought I knew which way things were going to go, and I didn't know at all. Several weeks ago, Matt and I celebrated our 30th anniversary, and we went out to dinner that night. It's probably the first time in 30 years we've ever gone out to dinner on an anniversary. And we went out, and I won't get into it, but it was pretty interesting. But anyway, one of the things we did, we had topics of conversation for our anniversary dinner, and one of the topics that we had was, what has surprised you in 30 years? You know, if we could back up in time 30 years ago and then look forward to today, what could we have predicted and what has come as a surprise? And you know what? Almost everything has been a surprise. We're still married, but that's about the only thing that's not surprising, including all four kids, you know. It's just all been a big surprise. Y'all are a huge surprise, had no clue when we started this. We had no clue we'd be pastoring a church. No clue it'd be pastoring it. Matt didn't even know he'd live in Augusta, Georgia. I guess I was hoping I would, but I didn't know. I mean, we had no idea. So it's really easy. And wait a minute. And I'm pretty smart. And it's all been a shockeroo to me. So I'm just saying, and probably some of y'all could say that. James, can you say that too? It's been pretty shocking, some of the things in your life. But if I only lived by what I knew, I would have missed so much of what God has had for me. So I can tell you that just even when I think I know what I should pray for as I ought, I don't really know. I know what the Bible says. I know God's general will about things because the Bible's very clear about those things. I know He's got good for me. I know He wants me well and whole. He wants me provided for. He wants me to have peace and joy. He wants me to walk in righteousness. These are things I know. But there's a lot of things I don't specifically know. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It's talking there about the ability that we have because of what we've been talking about these last few weeks, the power of Pentecost, because of Pentecost power, the ability that we have to pray in other tongues, to pray in a way that we ourselves don't understand. He goes on to say in verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And based on these verses and other verses, I can tell you when we pray in other tongues, we are praying out the will of God, the things that God knows that we don't know. And I'll give you another one that tells us that for 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. In the Spirit he speaks secrets. In the Spirit he speaks things that will surprise you. Things you don't know about, things that haven't come into your thinking, things that don't yet exist, things that are ahead. When you pray in other tongues, you're speaking to God, not to other people, but you are speaking to Him about things that you don't know about. And that's just about everything. You're able to do that. Thank God. That's just a huge part of why it's so beneficial in our lives that we pray in other tongues. So we need to actually pray. We pray according to the word, those things that I talked about, knowing what the word says, but we also pray in the Spirit, pray in other tongues. Okay? This is part of it. So I'm gonna just keep going through this and then I'm gonna tell you some stories. Okay. And then number four, what do? We pray We find the word, we pray, we pray what we know to pray in English, then we spend time. I don't mean like 15 seconds, maybe not even 15 minutes, but I'm telling you, there are situations and things in your life that require, that really demand of you that you spend a good quantity of time praying in other tongues. And some people I know, you know, they're spent after the first 4 minutes, their mouth's dry, their minds have wandered, they're somewhere else. Y'all, you're going to have to move past all that. I mean, because if it was your favorite movie at the theater, you could be, you know, sitting there just glued to it and, you know, some game. Look at Mike's hat, that'll tell you. Mike's all decked out here, man. Thank you for being my illustration. See, Mike, if there was a Warriors game on, Mike would have no problem just being in there. He could yell, he could do all the stuff, but we get distracted, we get whatever. I'm telling you, if you really understand what you're doing when you're praying in the Spirit, that you are speaking secrets, divine secrets, mysteries, things that haven't entered into your mind or maybe anybody else's mind. That's what you're talking about when you're talking to God. Boy, that makes it a lot more interesting. And it seems a lot more worthwhile. I know it sounds like heebie-jeebie-jeebie-beebie-beebie, you know, it just sounds ridiculous, really. If you ever listen to yourself speak in tongues, you won't do it very much because it just sounds just stupid to your human reasoning. But it's real legitimate communication. I mean, I got some questions I'm going to ask God. That's on the list. I think it goes with there's the foolish things of the world that confound the wise. I think it's in that category of why we sound so silly sometimes when we speak in tongues. I remember Maddie Sue when she was little and she'd pray in tongues. And sometimes she'd say, zinga, zanga, zinga, zanga. And I mean, I thought she was making that up. Zinga, zanga, zinga, zanga. It just sounded totally silly. We still make fun of Maddie Sue's tongues, but don't tell her. Okay, then, so we got this tongues praying thing done, and now we're on number four, which is listen and interpret back. Now, this is where starts getting interesting. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 13 through 15. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, see, I think we failed right here a lot because we think all we need to do is just pray. But I'm going to tell you, the part that comes after the praying is the interpreting. And most people don't really know much about that. But here's how it works in a practical sense. When I pray in tongues, from the inside of me, my innermost being, from my belly, where the Holy Spirit resides, there are words that come up that I give voice to. You're familiar with this if you pray in tongues. So there's words that come up from within me. Well, I'll pray along a little bit in, you know, tongues, just a minute or maybe a long period of time. But before long, there will be other words that want to come up. But they're not words in tongues, they're words in English. And they want to come up. And it may literally be one word. Or it may be like a, you know, a phrase. Every now and then it'll be something longer. But those words are inspired words that come from the same place that my English, you know, that my tongue's words come from. It's coming up from here. Now, you can do this too. It's not something special for me. I've just learned how to do it. But you can do it too. And if you've never experienced this, I encourage you to go home, get alone somewhere, in your car, in your shower, somewhere where nobody's listening to you, and spend some time praying in other tongues, and then listen and let things come up from within you in English. And you've probably had this happen, and you didn't even realize it, that it was coming up. And they're just words or phrases. And you get one, and you might just say that word for a bit. Or it might be several words, or it might be a phrase. And it'll come up from within you. It's an interpretation of something that you're praying. It's a clue, maybe. It's a clue to the secret or the mystery that you're praying. It might be, you know, something more. It might be, not only that might come, but you might see something with your mind's eye. I don't necessarily mean with these eyes, but you might see something by the Spirit. I see things often. You might too. A lot of you have told me things you see. You just see things on the inside, like in your imagination or your mind's eye, but it comes from within. It's not just me, okay, I'm seeing a pepperoni pizza right now and the crust is really burnt. It's not like that. It's just something that comes from the inside. That's part of Him bringing up inside of you. This is Him bringing to your mind. Remember how we read from chapter 2, how there's these things that I haven't seen and ears haven't heard, But the Spirit reveals them to us. This is one way he brings the revelation to us, is from the inside. It just flows up. I'm just, you know, trying to tell you the best I know how it works and how it's worked in my life for 30 plus years of knowing how God is dealing with me. So he's talking up to me. So you pray. It goes on to say in verse 14, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is fruitful." What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, but I'll also pray with the understanding. I'll sing with the spirit, and I'll also sing with the understanding. And some of you may have experienced this. Maybe you get new songs, you know. Maybe you get, maybe you'll be singing in tongues, which is a scriptural thing to do. And then maybe you'll just start singing words in English. I know some of you do that. So it's the same place. It's the same kind of thing. And it's really a flow that you get into in your life, and you have to learn it. But tonight I'm just challenging you to do this because it's available to you. And not only is it available, it is necessary for you. And you need this in your life. You need it. It'll change your life. It's an equipping that will benefit you greatly when you learn to tap into this and you learn to flow with this. It'll just change things for you. And you won't be so helpless or hopeless, and you won't be so like looking around out here for the answers. And I can tell you this, if you'll learn to do this, you will come to the place in your life where your first thing to do is to look on the inside, and you'll have a lot more peace, and you'll be a lot less anxious, and you'll be much more stable in your life. Because I'm going to tell you, when you hear from God and you know you've heard from God, it's easy to stand even in rough storms, even when things are against you. You know, we've had a lot of opportunities in 22 years to quit pastoring. And I know a lot of people over the 22 years who started pastoring and quit pastoring. But do you know, 22 years ago when we started Good News Church, God told us to do it using these exact same principles that I'm telling you tonight. God spoke to us and told us to start it, and he's never said to quit. But there were a lot of days it seemed like a really good idea. There were days other people told us it was a good idea. There were certainly days the bank book said quit, quit, quit. You understand? There were lots and lots of indications on every hand that we should quit many times. But you know why we were able to stand? It's because we're so great, because we're such faith. No, it's just this. God told us to do it, and it's just pretty much like this. Even a 5-year-old can be obedient when they hear plainly what their mama said. You can just stand. You can just stay with it. And if he says not to do it, you know, I was talking to somebody not long ago. They were telling me this whole big thing about how they were quitting something big. They were quitting it, and they went through their thing, and they got to the end, and I said, "Oh, so God told you to quit?" It got really quiet. I said, "Because I remember the day you told me how God told you to do it. He told me all, you told me this and that, and you were so excited, and you were so late, and this is the greatest thing. It was so awesome. And today you're telling me you're quitting. So God told you to quit." Just silence. God didn't tell them to quit. They were just deciding to quit. See, this is what happens in our lives. If we don't commit to living like this, we will miss what God has for us. We will. Like you talk about, Bryn, we'll quit on the 5th yard line. We'll quit on the 4th, the 3rd, the 2nd. We'll quit. We'll quit. And probably all of us can look back at something in our lives and go, "Yeah, I remember that quitting thing. I did that." But we don't want to do that. We want to walk in what he has for us. Okay, so that's it. You pray, and then you look to interpret back. And then finally, I just want to read one more scripture. Proverbs 20, verse 5. This is just a good, sound wisdom scripture. Counsel. That word counsel actually means plans. Plans in the heart of man. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. One translation says it's like a deep well. So you think of it like God's plans for your life inside of you. It's like a deep well down within you. But a man of understanding, a wise man, will draw it out. And that word draw literally means to put the bucket down in it and pull it up. So think of it this way. There are plans. They're hidden in your heart. They're down inside of there. But if you're smart, if you're wise, you'll get your bucket and you'll put your bucket down in there and you'll draw out the wisdom, the plans, the counsel of God. You will draw it out from within. Now, I don't think there's ever been a day that more desperately on planet Earth did we need the wisdom of God, because we live in chaos. We live in a chaotic, messed up, squirrely world. And so you and me have got to be able to access the truth and to access God's wisdom. The wisdom is in the Word, and the wisdom is buried, specific wisdom for you is buried down in your heart. And I just read to you from 1 Corinthians 14 that one way you pull it up, that you bring forth those mysteries, is when we speak in other tongues, we're pulling them up. But unless we get to the interpretation part, even when we pull them up, we don't understand them. But the interpretation will come, as I said, you'll pull it up either as words, one word, several words, a phrase. It'll come up as a picture, and then another way that it may come up, and it may come up at that moment, or it may come up, you know, over the next hours or days after you've been spending time. It can come up as a knowing. The Bible uses the phrase, we have an unction from the Holy One, and we know all things. There'll just be some people use the word hunch. But it's not just a hunch. It's an inward knowing. It's something that's solid. And you'll learn his leading. And it'll be solid in you. And it'll be a knowing. There have been times where I've just known that I knew. You know, I just knew this was what to do. And I knew. And I knew it. It wasn't because I kind of thought it. No, I knew. I knew that I knew that I knew. This is what is the deal. This is the truth. This is what I need to do. This is the step I need to make. It's just this knowing. The same way that I know I'm a child of God, His Spirit bearing witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God, His Spirit will bear witness with my spirit, and I'll have a knowing about something. This is what I need to do. Or this is what I don't need to do. And it'll just be a knowing. It'll come with confidence, and it will bring with it peace. And we know from Colossians that we are to let the peace of God rule. Or in the Amplified says, act as an umpire in our lives. We should look for that peace and follow that peace, following the peace. And it's not just peace like there's no storm. It's peace that's within, the peace that sustains you even in the storm. How many of you have ever heard something like this before? All of us. We've all heard it. Again, it's not hearing it that helps you. It's doing it. Now, I want to just share some things in my life, just some moments of things, and maybe this will help you. This was years ago, had a situation, 2005, had a situation. I had four babies. All my babies weighed almost 10 pounds. And after Grayson was born, my body was suffering. And I had some issues that I was dealing with, and I kept dealing with them, and I kept dealing with them. And every time I would go to the doctor would say to me, you need a hysterectomy. And I would say to the doctor, I don't want a hysterectomy. And I would tell God, I'm not going to have a hysterectomy because I don't want one. And I'd go through this and go through this and go through this. It was just really just an issue. It was just a problem for me. So one day I finally realized because this is what people say. People say things like, I ain't got time to be sick. And that's supposed to be a statement of faith towards God. I ain't got time to be sick. Well, that's not a statement of faith. That's just you in your mouth. The Bible says that by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. So if you say, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed, I've been redeemed from this, that's a statement of faith. But I ain't got time to be sick is not a statement of faith. But that's kind of how people are. People say things that are kind of right, but they're not at all. But here I was, and I was just kind of putting up with this, and I was really sort of messing with it. And I can't say that I ever came to the place where I just really believed I received and gotten. But meanwhile, the condition's gotten now that's really causing problems in my life. So I just did what I just talked about. I decided I'm going to just have to hear from God what needs to happen. Because the doctor kept telling me it's not going to be a big deal. This surgery's not going to be a big deal. It's not what you think it's going to be. It's going to be pretty, it's going to be simple. So I said, I didn't want to have it. Sound familiar, Eddie? I don't want to have it. Eddie had a thing he was dealing with where he's like, God's got to heal me because I don't want to have to go through it. Well, that's not faith. You're going to have to heal me because I don't want to go through it. That's not faith. But anyway, so I did this. I prayed. I spent some time praying. And funny enough, I'm praying, doing just what I told you here. I know what the scripture says about his will. His will is for me to be well and whole. I know that. I got these scriptures. But then I'm just praying in tongues. And clear as day, the Lord said to me, have the surgery and do it now. Have the surgery and do it now. Well, you know, God gave doctors the wisdom and, you know, it isn't what I necessarily wanted it, you know, to hear. But when he said it, there was such a peace with it, and I knew it. It was great until I went and talked to Matt. And Matt said, well, Susie, we just changed our insurance company. And so this, if you want to have surgery, it will not be covered for at least 6 months from now. So you can't have the surgery now because it won't even be covered by insurance. So if you have it now, it's going to all be out of pocket. $20,000. So the Lord had said to me, have it and have it now. So I looked at him and I said, well, here's the news. The Lord said to me to have the surgery and he told me to have it now. And you're telling me I can't have it now because of the insurance, but the Lord said to have it and to have it now. And that's what he said. That's what came up. And I know the voice of the Good Shepherd. So I remember plain as day. I remember I went out the back door. I went down the little ramp. I went out the driveway. And I'm walking up and down the driveway. And I'm talking to the Lord. And I said, well, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Matt tells me. He's telling me that the insurance isn't going to cover it. You said to get it done and to get it done now. And he's telling me the insurance isn't going to cover it. You made a mistake. So I went out and walked for an hour and wrestled with him, you know, trying to convince him that he didn't know what he was talking about. And more strongly than ever, have it and have it now. So I go in the house and I say to Matt, I don't know what's up with this, but the Lord told me to have it and to have it now. So $20,000 or not, we're going to be having the surgery. And he said, okay, we'll do it. So I went and had the surgery. I didn't pay anything at the front. I figure on the end, they'll give you the bill. Then we'll say, we don't have the money and we'll work out payments. I don't know. What are they going to do? I got 4 kids. They could take one of them. They could even pick which one they wanted. I mean, yeah, you can't go and undo it. What are you going to do? We get through the surgery. We go to the checkout thing. We're going to leave. And they say, we'll just send you the bill you just expect in the mail. Like 3 days later, we get the bill in the mail, paid in full. Oh, zero. We didn't pay one penny for the whole thing. Zero. We still to this day have no idea what happened. I mean, nothing. You understand? But that just happened because we heard from God. You understand? So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, where you hear from God and he shows you what to do. Now, we had a situation. Our daughter, Molly, our second daughter, she was in high school and she had gotten associated with this friend. And this friend had a lot of problems, God bless her, but she just was not a good friend for Molly. And, you know, you've had that. None of y'all have had that. Y'all don't have kids, but you probably had the friends. You know what I'm talking about, and they're in with these people, and you just don't like it. But, you know, one thing I found with kids is you don't go in front of your kid and say, that's it, Molly, never speak to her again, blah, blah, blah. Because you know what, Molly, you know what kids do? They're going to do what they want to do when you're not looking. So I know I can't just, from blunt force, you know. So you know what I did? I did what I'm talking about here. So I have to go and I have to talk to the Lord because I know some things. He says, great is the peace of your children, for they're taught of the Lord. They're mentored by the God himself. So I'm like, you know, here's the situation. And I just spent some time praying in the tongues. Now, one thing I want to tell you is this isn't just something you do one time. This is like with this single Molly, this went on for a while. But it was just continual praying. Praying, listening, praying, speaking the word, praying, listening, lots of time, praying in tongues, just, you know, for a lot of reasons, because your mind says all these things to you, thing after thing after thing, and you're going through all this stuff, and what are you going to do? Because, you know, any of y'all ever had an issue with one of your kids? What are you going to do? Well, you know, they'll just do what they want to do. I'm just not going to let them just be, you know, I'm not going to let the devil have them. Just not. Not with, I can't stop him in myself, but I'm hooked up with the one who can. And he knows how to capture their hearts and bring them back where they need to be. And me yelling at them, they ain't going to do a lot. So I'm doing what I do know that works. I'm talking to him. So I'm talking to him. I'm doing this, praying in tongues, all these things. And a couple of things happen. And the next thing I know, Matt and I are sitting in our house with Molly Anna. We're talking to Molly. And in a moment of time, Molly just changed. She said, I don't even know, you know, this person's obviously not a good influence on me. I'm not, blah, blah, blah. And over the course of just a couple of days of praying that through, Molly decided she wasn't even going to finish her senior year. She wasn't even going to go back to school for her senior year of high school. She wasn't going to go to her senior year. After she's been in school, she's not going to go and graduate her senior year. She's going to homeschool, and instead she's going to go do something else for her senior year. And the Lord opened up the opportunity for her to go to Africa and spend half her senior year in Africa and Zambia. She graduated. She didn't get to walk. She didn't get to do the whole deal. But it totally changed the course of her life. But that wasn't because we made her at all. That all came from God. You understand? God dealing with her. And if, you know, we could have spent day after day after day us trying to change her, and it probably would have done very little good. But by letting God get involved and praying out, he had a secret about how this whole thing could turn around, because he knew, I didn't know it. I didn't know Molly had this big passion for Africa. I didn't know that. And so the whole thing just turned around just because we were just doing this. Here, I got a couple more minutes. Here's one. So I got two sons. I got two sons. Neither one of them have very, you know, much income. They're both going to graduate from college next year. They both think that they're going to go into ministry. They both have met these girls that they think they want to marry. One of them went to India to do a mission, and on his way stopped by and saw his girl in India and proposed to her. And now they have set a date. Do you understand? When did they even start dating? Did they start dating in like November or something? What in the world? I'm telling you, if you just sit and think about it for a minute, you could get kind of like, what in the world? I could just lay down up here and wail, and y'all could come and pray for me. What are, you know? And Grayson? I mean, in my mind, Grayson's 5 years old. What in the world? So you know what I had to do? I signed them both up for the U.S. Marine Corps. No, what? You know what I had to do? I had to do this. I had to pray. You know, we spent 30 days of praying before Pentecost. I'm telling you, most of that time I was praying for them. I had to pray. But you know, I was praying, and guess what came up inside of me? The Lord spoke to me. You know what he said? He said, "You're going to have to trust me." You know that lean not to your own understanding part of the Bible? He said, "You're going to have to trust me." And then he said this, "And you're going to have to trust me in them." So when you ask me, how are these two young boys, how do you think your sons are going to provide for their wives, and how are they going to live, and where are they going to live, and how are they going to eat? I have to just tell you, I'm going to just have to trust God, and I'm going to just have to trust God in them. Some of y'all may need to have mercy on them. Mike, you got a little extra room at your house these days. Kyle, you could. I'm going to just have to let the Lord work it out. But I'm telling you, we could be so upset about so many things in our lives, or we could just look to God, and we could just pray in tongues and let him bring up in us the answers. And it may not come the first 10 minutes you're doing it, but it will come. He will speak to you. He will speak to you. I could just stand up here all the night long and tell you thing after thing after thing after thing after thing. It's just happened just like this. And once I hear from him, I'm going to tell you, I've learned to just settle down. I don't have to have all the answers. His answer to me is enough. Just trust me. That's sometimes the answer. That's like a full-time job right there. Hallelujah. And I'll share one more thing. Matt has mentioned about how there was some physical things both of us were dealing with, him, me. And just when we went to Australia last year, it was really a tough trip physically, a lot of things we were facing. I'd been aching a lot. Any of y'all, I'm 51 now. Do y'all know what I mean about aching? Like my fingers were aching. And you ever have that in your knee? And different? Am I the only person? I was just aching. And God's will is for me to be healthy and whole. Is that right? I mean, that's what the Bible tells me. And so I would, you know, believe I receive and things like that. But I did. It just seemed like I wasn't really getting any good headway going. And so, you know what I did? I just started doing this about my health. And I remember walking on my driveway. I remember walking on the driveway, and I'm praying, and I'm talking to the Lord, and I'm saying, you know, I've been through a lot of my own programs and a lot of my things, and I just tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. That's what I'm going to do. Whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And I knew like that I needed to talk to Corey Tiller. Now, I'm going to just give you a little thing here. Is Rhonda back there? If the answer to your problem is Corey Tiller, Lord help you. I mean, I'm thinking, I've known Corey Tiller since he was a little bitty fellow. In fact, I just found a picture. He came up on my thing yesterday. He took Maddie Sue to the prom when she was a senior. He was a junior. So I got these going to the prom pictures with Corey and Maddie. I mean, and he was just a goofball. And he's still pretty much goofball. And he said, Corey, I talked to Corey, and Corey worked out to come to my house. And you know what? I knew when he came, we weren't going to like what he did, and we didn't. It was humiliating. That's a nice way of putting what it was. It was really humiliating. And not only that, he comes in about a week later, and he's got a plan for what we're going to eat, which mostly was what we weren't going to eat, if you know what I mean. But as clear as anything, on the inside of me, the Lord said, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. That's what he said. You do it. And did I want to do it? Heck no, I didn't want to do it. And he didn't want to do it either. And he told me, I'm like, do what you want, big boy. But then, you know, he had to do it too. His pride kept up. You little woman can't do it. I'm going to do it. So here we go. And I'm going to tell you something. 4 weeks later, all the pain had gone. It was gone. It was gone. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I had new pain. Let me get it straight. I had new pain. Like, there were days Corey called it baby giraffe legs. But it wasn't the same kind of pain I'd had before, you understand? I knew where this pain came from. Do you understand? That's what I'm telling you. God, he tells you, he leads you in the way you should go. He gives you the help that you need. Do you understand? But these are things that we have to go and listen. We have to pray. And then we have to be obedient to whatever he tells us to do. But I'm telling y'all, he will solve our issues, our problems, all those things we deal with and try to fix. He actually knows how to fix them if we'll listen to him. So this is the gist of tonight. The answers you need for everything you're facing are already inside of you. They're in that deep well within you. You got to draw them out. You got to pull them out. And as you pray in other tongues and then you listen and you get the words and you interpret back to your mind and things come up in you and you get that knowing and you get a peace about the way that you should go, it's him showing you what to do. But if you don't take the time to do that, you will miss what he has for you. And I know you ain't got time. I know. I ain't got time. I'd love to do that. Well, it's fine. That's fine. Do what you want with your time. But I'm going to tell you, it would change your life and the course of your life if you would just learn to do this and then do it. Praise God. See, it took 7 minutes of your time right there. So how are you going to get that back? All right, y'all stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's just that simple. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you. Thank you for showing us the way we need to go. I ask you, Father, for every person who desires this, that you work with them. And you teach them. So wonderful that we don't have to depend on any man to teach us, any woman to teach us, because the Spirit himself, the great tutor himself, lives within us. And anybody in this room or hearing this message tonight, anybody that wants to do this can learn to do it, and you'll teach them. So I ask you, Father, I ask you to put in them the desire to learn. And the desire to do it. Fill us up with your desires. We've taken these moments to delight ourselves in you, Father. I ask you to give us these desires. So we've delighted in you just showing up here and listening, tuning in. Hallelujah. And I ask you, Father, to remind us of these words in the days ahead when the circumstances arise and we're looking under every rock there is to try to find the solution. Remind us. Oh, the kingdom of God and all the wisdom of the King resides within us. And we can just put our bucket down and draw it out. Hallelujah. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night.